This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mukhtar, together with Wong Xiaoning and Ku Su Chuang. We're turning our attention to the repercussions of political uncertainty. And there's really no doubt that the current political tussle for power has implications beyond the question of just who governs the nation. Experts say that the incessant political squabbles are raising the Malaysian stock market's risk premium and will weigh down on any upside.
So the PM's decision to table a confidence vote in September means that uncertainties will prolong for at least another month. And these developments are happening at a time when the country is facing the worst of the COVID crisis, both in terms of the demands on the healthcare system, which is, of course, at breaking point, and weakened economic sentiment as a result of lengthy restrictions. Question is, how do investors factor these kinds of conditions into their decisions, and how do these concerns affect the outlook for capital markets?
So this morning, we are asking you on Twitter, running a poll. And the question is, given the increasing political uncertainty, would you invest in Malaysian equities? And there are four options. Yes, it's cheap. No, too much uncertainty. No, go for crypto and not sure. And so far, we've had close to 150 votes. But do let us know what you think, because we'll be running this poll until 9 a.m.
That's right. And in the meantime, we are talking to a seasoned investor or somebody who looks at investment constantly. We have Pankaj C. Kumar, financial market columnist, on the line to help us understand how investors factor these kinds of conditions into their decisions. Pankaj, always good to have you on the show. Good morning. Now, the FBMKLCI has declined by close to 8% on a year-to-date basis, making Malaysia one of the worst performing markets in Asia. How much of this is driven by the political uncertainty in our country, which has been affecting us since March last year?
So yes, the KLCI is in actual fact the second worst performing index in Asia after Philippines. And this I attribute to a combination of factors that has led us to almost a perfect storm scenario. First, we have a severe economic challenge due to the continuous lockdown in key economic development areas like the Klang Valley. Second, we have a healthcare crisis with our frontliners basically burnout and our healthcare capacity tested beyond the limit. And of course, the third, we have never-ending political uncertainty due to Perikatan's insistence that it has the majority to continue to govern. The emergency declaration early on this year, which was said to tackle the pandemic, has failed to show the results that we want, resulting in further economic pain and sufferings for the men on the street and businesses.
Okay. Maybe you can talk to us then about how foreign investors view these kinds of political risks.
Yeah, I think I was talking just now about the three factors that we have almost a perfect storm. So our early success last year in tackling the pandemic actually was disrupted, yeah, because of political situation and Sabah state elections, you know, and all that, you know, and enforcement, you know, with SOP related to those coming back from state election. And since then, our numbers have just gone one way. The manner in which the pandemic has been addressed doesn't seem to be based on data or science, leading to chaos and flip-flopping policies to the extent it has caused uneasiness to among foreign investors. Yeah, even our plan, national recovery plan, to move from phase one and two and beyond are just arbitrary figures without the basis as to why these thresholds were chosen in the first place. So to me, while foreigners do not like uncertainty for sure, the manner in which we are handling the crisis is truly disappointing. And this is manifested in the daily numbers that we are reporting every day in terms of cases, death, you know, ICU cases and so on. But of course, on the bright side, I must say, it's quite impressive that the vaccination drive has been tremendously strong, yeah, over the past 2 months as we have really ramped it up. And that actually is a positive part as far as managing the pandemic is concerned.
Yeah, Pankaj, it seems perhaps ephemeral, because obviously there's still an economy, there's still 33 million people, and people want to live life. As vaccinations, you know, increase and more people are protected, is this a good time to be, you know, perhaps considering whether to go back into the market, because there's so much distress and fear in the market?
Well, the market has been correcting for a while, since the start of the year, as we see, all down about 8%. Yes, valuation looks attractive in certain sectors, but you cannot just judge by the market itself. Yeah, the KLCI is not really an index that basically tells you that the market is a good time to go in. I think Malaysian market has always been a market where you need to choose in terms of sectors, in terms of individual stocks. And that can be seen from the market itself. And look at the technology sector, for example. That's quite similar to what we see elsewhere. Yeah? Our tech stocks has been performing tremendously well this year. I mean, of course, you know, semiconductors numbers are strong, demand is strong. So all that is all about stock picking, really.
But at the same time, Pankaj, it cannot be denied that foreign investors aren't, we aren't their favourite, because there's been 24 consecutive months of constant selling, and foreign shareholding is close to 20%. It's the lowest which we've seen since the 2009 Great Financial Crisis. So how come, or why have we become so unpopular?
Actually, Charlie, it's not only just the past 24 months. Actually, foreigners have been selling our market for the past 7 out of 8 years. Yeah, with the exception only in the year 2017, where we saw an inflow of about 10 billion. So cumulatively, if you take that past 8 years, foreigners actually have been net selling our market since 2014 to the tune of 70 odd billion. You know, so in that sense, this year so far, net selling is about 5.8 billion. Yeah, not too bad. As last year, foreigners sold almost 25 billion. So while you ask me how much has foreigners sold since Rikatan took over, the answer is actually about 28 billion. You know, so if you talk about the past 17 months since this government took office, foreigners have been selling.
Yeah, Pankaj, what's the main causes behind that 8-year selling spree?
I think Malaysian market has been very disappointing in terms of earnings growth. Yeah, continuously, corporates have been disappointing in terms of meeting market expectations. So in that sense, as far as the index is concerned, the performance has been not been that great, yeah, because of you know, earnings not meeting expectations. That's the key. And of course, Malaysia prior to G14 actually was seen as a market that has a political premium because of its stability. But after the election, the G14, that premium of political stability has more or less been removed. In fact, if you check on Malaysian market over the past years, Asia ex Japan, Malaysia tends to trade at about 15% premium. Today, we are trading at about 15-16% discount. So we have gone the other way.
Pankaj, aside from stronger earnings growth, what would be a catalyst for the Malaysian equity market to re-rate?
I think we really need to look at beyond just the fundamental reason. Yeah, yes, earnings is actually very important criteria for market. But I'm actually afraid we are actually in the middle of the second quarter reporting season. And as you know, market expectations, earnings growth this year is like 40%. But I don't think that number is going to hold on. Yeah, I think there's going to be a downgrade in terms of earnings expectations firstly. But re-rating is still possible if we are able to address the elephant in the room. Yeah, and that elephant is actually our politics and our institutional reform. Yeah, we need to get our politics right. Yeah, so and in the democratic parliamentary system, we must respect the winners of any general election. So with that, what I mean is that we must introduce laws that will ban people from hopping from one coalition to another coalition. You know, and we must have anti-hopping laws. We must reform our parliament system to make sure that the parliament is actually really a place to listen to people's voice and not just voices of political parties. Yeah, so we must change in that sense, in directions in terms of how we want to do things. We also need to have institutional reforms. For example, this has been discussed many times in terms of politics and business mixing together. And we have GLCs and GLICs, they're headed by politicians and all that. That's not right. Yeah, so we have too much of that and we need to change. And we also need to have a lot of structural issues to be addressed. And this includes, of course, when you talk about wages, yeah, wages in Malaysia are extremely low. Yeah, and at the same time, even our taxes, you know, we are not taxing enough. Yeah, so we need to address a lot of issues when you talk about structural changes that we need to make.
All right, Pankaj, thank you so much for weighing in on this today. That was Pankaj C. Kumar, financial market columnist, talking to us about the litany of areas that need to be addressed in order for Malaysia's capital markets to rise again. He was talking about how the political uncertainty is it doesn't really help confidence in the economic or business sector of the country.
Well, you know, a few days ago, CGS-CIMB released a report saying that, entitled Darkest Before the Dawn, And sometimes that is true because the fact remains, right, there is still an economy, there are still 33 million people, there's still all these people wanting to go out and, you know, live life normally, right?
Yeah.
Cashed up. Once vaccinations hit, what, 60-70%, you know, you never know what might happen. Well, what he said about the political premium that Malaysia used to enjoy until 2014 is true. And this is how it gets complicated with financial markets, right? Because BN, Barisan Nasional, was the party that was offering that stability. But long-term, as provably demonstrated by the data, they are long-term detrimental to the country because of the lack of structural reform. So that's how markets are sometimes a bit complicated.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.